Second hour, Darren Donick and Chase here on ESPN 102.5 The Game on this Monday morning. Hope everybody is up and at it and having making the most of your day. Darren McFarland, Chase McCabe, Willie Donick, all representing different areas of town. I'm in the south side. Willie's over on the east side. Chase on the west side. Elijah Campbell back at 1824 Murfreesboro Pike, holding things down at our Wholesale Inc. Game Studios, powered by Rumble On. Teron Davenport, Talking with TD is his podcast. You should check it out. And him and Chase talk on our airwaves a lot during football season and out of football season. And I don't know if you guys
just talk to each other.
Do you guys have a scheduled visit this week or no?
No, but, you know,
Yeah, talking to with TD is going, man. There's no stopping us.
Oh, I know you're. I know.
No stopping talking with TD.
No, I know talking with TD. Nothing's shutting that down. No way. Social distancing. Nuh-uh. Not going to affect talking with TD. So, let's just start with some guys that maybe the Titans are choosing to distance themselves from. Let me start with this, Teron. Who do you believe are some free agents currently out there that the Titans have that are still just sitting out there doing nothing, that you think that they've already made the decision they're moving on from? Who comes to mind?
I think Tajae Sharpe comes to mind.
Really?
He's someone I feel like they've moved on from.
Okay. Why do you feel that way?
Well, I mean, there haven't been any offers, and this is a draft that's deep with wide receivers.
Okay.
They brought back Cam Batson, you know. I think that, you know, that Tajae Sharpe ship has kind of sailed, and I think a team is going to get a really good receiver. I've said it before, and I'll say it again. You put him in New Orleans, and I think he will really fill that Marcus Colston role and be a very good pass catcher for Drew Brees.
Interesting. Okay. Although the Saints did have a nice move over the weekend as well. So you start with Tajae Sharpe. What about a couple guys in the secondary like LaShawn Sims, Ty Smith, those type of guys? What about them? Tremaine Brock?
I think one of those guys will be brought back. I think it's Ty Smith that will be brought back. But, again, this draft is so deep at cornerback. I know they've had interest in multiple guys, three that come off the top, you know, Jeff Gladney, Amik Robinson, and Darnay Holmes. Those are all guys they've shown interest in. So C.J. Henderson as well. So I feel like they've done their homework and they're prepared to add another guy that could give them the depth role that Sims or Brock could have given them, as well as a guy with more upside, you know, as a younger player and a less expensive one.
We've enjoyed having Kamale Correa on the program. He's a great guy to deal with. I know you've dealt with him as well. What do you think in his numbers? He had a nice season, very nice season. He has fit in nicely here. Do you think does he return here? What do you think is the outlook for Correa?
Yeah, that's another one I had forgot to mention. There were some reports that an offer was out to him. I can firmly say that that's not true. He hasn't had an offer. There were some discussions, but no actual offer. And it looks like they've moved on from him. But with this whole Jadeveon Clowney situation, I could see them circling back to him. But, again, the draft is another area where I think they're going to address that.
Yeah, that's what's interesting, right? A lot of this, they may have interest, but they also may be in a holding pattern because they have interest, but they also want to see how other things play out. How about a guy like Wesley Woodyard, who means so much to them in the room? I would love to see him finish everything out here. I don't know what his plans are, how much longer he wants to do this, but what about a guy like him?
Yeah, well, Wesley does want to do it at least two more years. I talked to him during the season about that. As far as where they are with him, I honestly don't know. And I think having him back would be really important because he would be that liaison between, you know, Coach Haslett and the younger guys. Whereas before with Coach Tyrone McKenzie, he was able to relate to them and put things together to make everything more understandable and just be just a guy that could get to their level, so to speak, you know, but still be the coach. I think that's a value that Wesley Woodyard has with the Titans. However, I'm not sure where they are with him, to be honest with you.
Okay. What about a guy like Austin Johnson, who they took in the second round?
Well, I mean, with the Jarrell Casey trade, I think he's definitely someone that they're going to have to strongly consider now because, you know, after Daquan Jones and Jeffrey Simmons, you know, you have a bunch of guys who have not really started consistently. You know, there's definitely promise with Isaiah Matt, you know, but, yeah, I think Austin Johnson's a guy that they'll have to show interest in. But here, once again, the draft, and Marlon Davidson, who will be a guest on Talking with TD this week, I think he's really a good fit for the Titans as far as a guy that has a similar skill set to Jarrell Casey and, you know, just a similar disruptive type of player.
I know, TD, that when you draft these young guys, a lot of these guys, the best chance for them to get on the field is through special teams. So a lot of guys have to take that route early on in their career. But when you have a guy that you know what he brings to the table on special teams and you don't realize how important special teams is until you stink at it, what about a guy like Darren Bates? Are they going to move on from him? Where do you think they're going with him or not going?
I could see him coming back. I could see them doing that because he's a J-Rob guy, you know, and then, as you said, the special teams aspect, and he's a guy that, you know, has served the captain role at times for the Titans. So I could see them bringing him back, but that's another position. You know, you look at a guy like a Logan Wilson out of Wyoming, you know, he'll be a fifth or sixth round pick, and that's someone that they could bring aboard, and he'll be someone that would, you know, kind of fill that role. And the special teams role, and I talk to Bates about this a lot, it's definitely a lot of ability that you know, goes into it, but most of it is just having that mindset of just being a guy who just has no regard for himself, you know, and that's basically what happens on special teams, and we know the collisions that go on there. So I don't want to call it a crash test dummy, but it's kind of like that type of job. And, you know, if you have that mindset and that willingness to sacrifice yourself, you can fill the role.
Talking to Teron Davenport from ESPN and, of course, our colleague here on 102.5 The Game as we continue to track the Titans' offseason moves. So, Teron, let's talk about the draft. You get into this so well, kind of on your own. You do your own research. You talk to a lot of the players. You study the tape. I'm curious if you've talked to any of the Titans people about how they've adapted to the process here, because we continue to see a changing picture in front of us. Every day, things change of what you can do. People, you know, take more and more precautions. I know they're trying to adhere to that, but at the same time, you're trying to prepare yourself the best you can for this draft.
Yeah, from what I've been told, it just has placed more emphasis on the film. And for a lot of the guys in that building, well, not in the building literally anymore, but, you know, a lot of the guys who are doing that work, that's where it really stems from, you know, the film. That's their bread and butter. Now, obviously, you'll have guys who are borderline guys that may have an issue off the field, and that's where those conversations really could kind of work you through that, right? And that's what happened with Jeffrey Simmons. You know, he had that incident. They talked to him, and they really discovered that he was a sincere man who turned things around. And guess what? You haven't really had any issues as far as Simmons is concerned. So, obviously, the combine stuff is important. There were only so many meetings that they could have. So that's why the Senior Bowl, that's where they leaned on a lot of that. You know, John Robinson was there. There weren't a lot of GMs at the Senior Bowl, actually, which is interesting. But J-Rob was there, and he made sure he did his homework, talked to a lot of guys there. And then, again, as I said, the combine. So it's really just relying on the information that they've gathered, going back and watching film. But it obviously makes it tough. If you have two prospects that are basically the same player, you know, but you have more information on one guy than the other guy, now you're naturally going to lean to the guy you have more information on because it's just human nature to go at what you know.
How much better do you think Jeffrey Simmons could be next year, you know, now that he's gone through all of this difficult time of the, you know, mending himself from this knee, getting to where he could play? I know we saw a lot of really great flashes of brilliance, for sure, but What's the next step for him? What are you expecting in his second year?
Yeah, I'm expecting a step forward. I'm expecting more impactful plays. But the thing that we have to remember with Jeffrey Simmons is he's not that guy that's going to impact through the box score. So if you're just at the end of the game looking at the box score, you're not going to see a whole lot from Jeffrey Simmons. But if you watch him during the game, you'll see him really do stuff. And that's he's a guy that you really have to actually watch the game to understand how good he could be. And I think he's going to have much more plays like that. I think he's going to be a guy that will continue to collapse the pocket. I think he's someone that will get that penetration. You look at the way he grabs, snatches, and throws some of these guards and centers that he goes against. He's a heck of a player, and I think it's just going to get better as he continues to get more confident in that knee and just distance himself from that injury. He's working now to be able to play without the brace this upcoming season, so I think the sky's the limit for him, and he's the guy that could have an Ndamukong Suh-like impact. You know, I'm talking about the Suh when he was with the Lions, that guy. He could have that type of impact on the defense.
Talking to Teron Davenport of ESPN, the Titans NFL Nation reporter. And TD, you can tell we've worked together for a long time. You just set me up. You're like a quarterback leading the receiver. Ndamukong Suh is still out there, and you brought up Jarrell Casey being traded and you know what the Titans need there. I know he's not the same Ndamukong Suh, but is he somebody that if he remains available that the Titans could look at?
Yeah, I think he and Derek Wolfe are guys that the Titans could look at. In the Suh perspective, you're going to pay, you know, between $9 and $11 million for him. So why not just keep what you have, what has worked so well? I don't get trading Jarrell Casey and signing Ndamukong Suh. I don't really get that. The only thing that I could actually see that happen, the only reason, will be if they were all in on Clowney, it didn't happen, and now Suh is the fallback, you know. But I think they traded Casey to get a guy, like an impactful player. And, you know, for whatever reason, that's not happening as quickly as most of us thought. But to focus on your question, Suh, I could see being a target, you know, obviously as a fallback, though.
If Logan Ryan doesn't come back, and right now that appears to be the case, there are several corners available on the market. I know we've discussed draft and what they could do there, but are there some veterans that stand out to you that could fit this system?
Yeah, the one that I could see is Nickell Robey-Coleman. He's the one signing I could see them making, and it would cost a pretty penny less than what Logan Ryan costs. But, man, to lose that in the secondary, you know, I was going back and looking at my videos that I recorded, and there were so many of Logan Ryan saying stuff to these guys before they go out on the field. And I felt the hair on my arms raising while I was watching it. So it's going to hurt them if they do lose Logan Ryan. But I think Robey-Coleman is a guy that could come in and fill that nickel role for them. And I think he would be a veteran to help them out in that secondary.
Is it safe to assume, though, that right now Clowney could be the first prize, and that's why they cleared the cap space, but if they miss out on him, they don't go at that position. They then pursue Logan Ryan and trying to get him re-signed, even if they have to pay $10, $11, $12 million?
I think you could assume that, but in my opinion, you know, John Robinson and the crew there, they are very good evaluators, right? And so that being said, as long as Marcus Golden is out there, I say there's a chance they could, because they're in the business of adding good football players to the team. And I would say Marcus Golden is still an option, but, you know, Clowney is obviously the number one. That, in my opinion, was why they made that trade.
Do you think Clowney's worth it? Your opinion?
Man, that's a tough call. $20 million is a lot, but if you look at Clowney, he's an absolute game wrecker. And if you look at run stuffs since 2016, he's the top run stuffing defensive player. Obviously, you want more sacks, but you look at how he goes against double teams. You know, he was the fourth highest win rate against double teams using ESPN stats and info, our pass rush win rate. And then you look at going against one-on-one blocking, he was third highest with a 21% win rate there. So I would say I think he's worth the money. Yeah, I do. And we get so caught up in the sack numbers. But here's the thing. You look at the last time he played in a Mike Vrabel-led defense, 9.5 sacks, mm-hmm. 22 QB hits, a bunch of tackles for a loss, forced fumbles. The guy, he's a disruptive player, and it's all about impact on the quarterback. And this is a team that has to be able to do that if they want to contend with the Ravens, if they want to contend with the Chiefs. They need a guy like that. So I would say yes.
Okay, so let's end it with this. I'll tell you what I said on Morning Drive today at 9 o'clock, and you tell me if you agree or disagree. I said, one, I'm leaving it up to John Robinson and Mike Vrabel to figure out if Clowney's worth it or not, because Vrabel knows. He's been around him every day. He knows what his work ethic is like, what he's like in the meeting rooms, what he's like on the field, off the field. He was around that on a day-to-day basis in Houston. So he would know better than us. We can all have our opinions. But I said, look, you can't lose Jarrell Casey and then come back goose eggs on Clowney and Ryan. To me, you got to come back with one of them to say that your defense is the same or got better in the offseason. Do you agree or disagree?
Yeah, I agree, right? Good to great. That's been the theme. So how can you go good to great if you're losing a great player and not adding another one? So I agree 100%. And just real quick on Clowney, the only thing that could make me have a drawback as far as that value, that $20 million, is the injury history.
Yeah,
that's the only thing.
Yep, I think that's pretty clear. That is the hesitation with everybody. Teron, really appreciate it as always. You and the family be safe, and we'll talk soon. Thanks for doing this.
Thanks, appreciate it. You guys do the same.
When's the next installment come out? Wednesday?
It'll be out Wednesday. Yeah, we have Zach Moss also from Utah. So those are the two confirmations as of now.
There you go, talking with TD. Check it out. It's a really good podcast. You just heard a couple of his guests, and this week's edition will be out on Wednesday. Always good to talk with Teron. This is What I Know coming up in about 30 minutes. We'll come back. More of Darren Donick and Chase next. Thank you, Kyle. Back here on Darren Donick and Chase on this Monday. This is What I Know coming up at about 11:45. We're going to need your participation.
I'm looking forward to it.
Yeah, me too. And then to kick off the third hour, we will head east like we do every Monday, talk with Vince Ferrara from the Sports Animal in Knoxville. All right, let's talk about the latest rumor that's out there of Jadeveon Clowney possibly landing here. I know Seattle's in the mix. They've given him a pretty aggressive offer. Seems like all the reports are saying Clowney's seeking $20 million a year. Let's just start with one. How do you guys feel about that? How do you feel about Clowney? Right move? Wrong move? What do you think? Should the Titans be interested in him at that
Risky.
Price?
Risky, for sure. But I see the idea. And listen, I am not an evaluator of talent, for sure. I think Teron made an excellent point. You can't just look at the sack total, right? The sack total only gives you a part of an overall package that you get with a player. So I'm going to go more what Teron is saying, what I heard Sean Salisbury say, and that is that if you really look, it's the run stopping that you're getting with Clowney. He is an elite talent for sure. But the injury thing is the big thing. You put that much money into one player who has an injury history, he's not likely to all of a sudden be healthier more of the time. I think the question is, can you live with Clowney if he plays 12, let's say 11 or 12 games to get that dominant performance, presuming that you're going to get the best out of him when he's playing? I mean, I think those are the questions, right? The injury history, and can this guy come to play every week when it's time? I think Mike Vrabel, they wouldn't have an interest if Mike Vrabel didn't have the insight that he does. I think that part's all right. The injury part is the bigger risk for me.
I think you make a very good point about the injuries, but at the same time, if you know a team is going to pay him, you know, something, then, and you truly feel he can make your team better, then you're going to have to do it. The Vrabel factor for me is a real thing. Now, I'm not saying that Mike Vrabel is this great whisperer, you know, to the players, and, you know, he's shown signs of being a good coach. He got better in year two, but then he still made some mistakes that we all questioned him on, and we all were like, what are you doing? But at the same time, I respect and I trust in him with that position because he played it at such a high level for so long, and there's something about his relationship with the linebackers that they listen to him, they trust him, and I want to see how he can work with a player like Vic Beasley that they've already signed and possibly Jadeveon Clowney. And they spent a year together. I thought Teron brought up some very good points. When you do look at the numbers when they were together, I think that that could be very beneficial to not only the Titans but to Jadeveon Clowney as a player, pairing him once again with Mike Vrabel. So do I love the price if it comes to that? No, but if it works, then you know, you do it. But I would do it no matter what, just because I want to see him with Vrabel.
I'm just going to defer to, as I said on the morning show, to Mike Vrabel, because he knows Jadeveon Clowney better than us. It was just like Tom Brady. I mean, the fact is, it's clear that they decided in that room that Ryan Tannehill better served them than Tom Brady. They would know better than us because both the general manager and the head coach have been on the field or, you know, around him every day for years. And so they know him better than everybody else. And so if they say that, while I personally would have gone a different route, that's just me. It's well documented what I said. But they would know better than us, and this is no different. I mean, Mike Vrabel was around him for every day. He knows what he's like in the meeting rooms. He knows his work ethic. He knows what he's like on the practice field. He knows what he's like on Sundays. And he's going to know. And by the way, Clowney just turned 26.
Right. We may have lost Darren. I think he could have
just
gotten
turned
zapped.
27, I think is what he was about to say. Born in 93. So where does that put him? So I think that is a little bit of the, you know, let's say that in theory, this is the idea. You're trading Jarrell Casey, an extremely valuable guy, a guy that has all of the intangibles, that's done an incredible job. And you are clearing the decks of him in order to make room for Clowney, in theory. Okay, let's just say what that is. It's a little bit like the Shea Weber PK Subban argument in that, hey, you're trading a special player. You're moving on from a special player, but when you get a guy that's what's the age difference? 3 years between Clowney and and Casey? I mean that's a very, very big difference. Even though it doesn't sound like it maybe at first, 3 years, what's the big deal? But 3 football years, that's a big difference.
Yeah. A ton. That's a lot.
And look, I won't, you know, I'll ask you guys if you agree. Like, I trust Vrabel more now, as you should going into year three, but I especially trust him with that position, that if there's a player that there are any questions around, I'm not saying he's going to fix them all, but he's the man for the job, in my opinion. That, and if he's going to be the defensive coordinator this year, which it appears that that's the case, he works on the field with these players, he's somebody that I trust to work on some of the things that might concern us with Jadeveon Clowney. He has earned that trust from me.
Well, I don't know if I'm not willing to go there because, one, Dean Pease is not in the mix, and so we don't have any idea how this is going to affect them or what it's going to look like without Dean Pease. I think Dean Pease deserves a ton of credit, and if Mike Vrabel is going to be the head coach / DC, I don't know how that's going to work. I mean, I need to see all this play out. I'm not willing to go there because I need to see it without Dean Pease and how this is going to look under this new role.
Well, I want to see Jim Haslett too. You know, what kind of a difference does Jim Haslett make just on that staff?
Yeah, and I don't know how much we're going to really know that other than he's just a guy who's got a lot of experience. So I don't know exactly. Do you know his exact role? I mean, you know how much say he's going to have in things. And
no. He's listed as the inside linebackers coach, so whatever, Who knows what exactly that's going to mean? Is it just that? Is he going to have an assistant head coach title? Is he
going to
be
typically we're not going, man, I want to see what this inside linebackers coach
right.
can bring to the table on the defensive side of the ball. I mean, typically,
but I think
you
we're
don't
saying
say
right, but I think we're saying that because look, he wasn't a very good head coach, but he has been in the league for a long time as an assistant, and so I think that's something you have to consider. But the Dean Pease factor is also real. You bring up a very good point. That what is this going to look like without him? Because if you go back to Houston, you know, Vrabel in his coaching career, Vrabel has always had somebody to lean on that has been doing this a lot longer than him. And yes, he has Jim Haslett now, but he doesn't have Romeo Crennel. He doesn't have Dean Pease. So that I think that's fair. What is it going to look like without those guys? You know, is he ready now to, even though he's been a head coach for 2 years, is he ready to install a defense and run his defense while also trying to mentor these players? That is a question that can only be answered once training camp starts.
I mean, for anybody to say they don't have, you know, they're completely comfortable and everything is going to be just fine, I would just say, how would you know that? I mean, how could you possibly know that? You just laid it out, Chase. I mean, we've never seen it. I mean, we just saw it 1 year in Houston. He was the DC without all that, and it didn't go well. So how in the world you just brought it
and
up?
He got a head coaching job.
It looked better as you know, with Romeo Crennel. It looked better with Dean Pease. So we don't know. I mean, I don't know how you could prove how you could think and feel confident that they're not going to miss a beat. I'm not willing to go there. Just like the Patriots trying to act like, you know, they're not going to miss a beat with Jarrett Stidham. I mean, give me a break. Who are you kidding?
Brian Hoyer.
Brian Hoyer, Jarrett Stidham, and you don't think you're going to miss a beat? I mean, I'll need to see that to believe that, because I'm not signing up for that. I'm just simply saying that Vrabel, forget what he can do here. I think I'm talking about more of what he's seen. He knows one way or the other of what this guy is capable of. What
sure.
is he worth that? Can he bring it game in and game out? Does he bring it every day in the meeting room? Does he bring it every day on the practice field? What is he like in the locker room? He knows that stuff. And so that's if they decide to sign up for that, it tells us that he was okay with that. He likes what he sees. I don't know what they're going to do. I really don't, but I'll stick by with what I said. I don't know how you could possibly say you've lost Dean Pease that we just addressed. You've just traded Jarrell Casey to Denver. I don't know how if you don't re-sign Logan Ryan, and you don't bring in Clowney and you don't re-sign Logan Ryan, I don't know how you could possibly make the case that this defense is going to be better.
I agree.
That's why I think the argument that the infusion of just the level of talent that Clowney is could make a big difference. Now, here's something I'm just looking at it really for the first time. I know the rap on Clowney sometimes is he has been nicked up with injuries. His first year, and I don't recall what the story is, his rookie year, I think he played 4 games, right? But since then, 13 games his second year, so he missed 3. 14 games his third year at age 23, 2016. Played the full 16 in 2017. 2018, he played 15. And last year he played 13. So he's missing a couple of games each year on average, right? So it's not like he's only playing half of a season, but he does seem to miss a game here or there. So you wonder now, what does that look like age 27, 28, 29? That I think that's what you're looking at. If you're going to make the kind of investment you're making, you're looking at 3 years, right?
Right. Yeah.
I don't know how you could look past 3.
Sure. And I think that's a good rule of thumb anyway. I mean, yeah. Windows, you know, what are the windows in the NFL to be, unless you're the Brady-led New England Patriots? I mean, I think windows are generally 2 to 3 years, so that's kind of a good rule of thumb to look at even with a player.
Willie, why don't you tell us about Lee Company?
Okay, so with that, we'll take it to the break, and when we come back, we'll continue to discuss this, and we're also counting down to This Is What I Know. We'll have some fun with that. And at 1 o'clock, for all of you that follow hockey, Adam Bingham's going to join us. The Athletic did a pretty interesting thing with the season frozen where it is, on the pause for the foreseeable. They went ahead and did a little vote on who would win the awards at the various positions. We're going to talk about that at 1 o'clock with Adam. Let me tell you in the meantime about Lee Company. 615-567-1000 is the phone number to always remember, and they continue to provide services for you. And the home maintenance plan is something long-term to always keep your eye on, because long-term, this is going to save you money, and it's also going to keep your house running efficiently and properly. And what I mean by that is they'll have the annual checkups for you of your air conditioning unit, your heating unit, your plumbing system, and your electrical system. You get 4 annual checkups. They'll call you. They'll make an appointment to come out and look at these things. They'll make recommendations where they need to. They'll find little problems before they become big problems. And when you do need to make repairs, you'll get discounts on those repairs. And over time, those are going to happen, but that's part of it. And that's why I think this is the best way to go. Lee Company is the company, and you can go to their website at leecompany.com. You can also at always give them a call at 615-567-1000. Lee Company, proud sponsor of the Nashville Predators. Donick and Chase continuing from the home offices, the home studios all around our city as we continue to move through the social distancing, the shelter at home, shelter in place, all of the above. So Chase, as we continue to go here, let's give people an idea of what's coming up here in the next segments of the show. I know coming up here soon we have This Is What I Know.
Oh, yeah.
And a little bit later, we talk with Adam Vingan. What else have we got?
Vince Ferrara from WNML, the sports animal in Knoxville. We'll have our weekly chat with him coming up at noon. But I'm looking forward to This Is What I Know. I have something planned, so I'm very excited about it.
Will you be playing a guitar during this segment?
I can neither confirm nor deny.
Ooh.
Huh. Interesting. Okay.
Interesting.
So we'll see.
Chase, your Cowboys are closing on a deal with Dontario Poe.
Yeah, I saw that. They added Gerald McCoy as well. They've lost some key pieces, but it seems like they're replacing them with older pieces.
Yeah.
We'll see what they do in the draft. I don't know. This is what happens when you pay everybody.
Is Randy Gregory going to get reinstated? And is he going? If he does, is he back with the Cowboys?
That's a good question. I don't know. I haven't seen the latest on him, but he's another guy that you just put in the category of can't get their stuff together. And
yeah.
He has applied for reinstatement, so I guess if he gets it, he would be back, but he's petitioning for his reinstatement with the league, so who knows. But another player that, I mean, if he could just get it all together, he could have been a good piece for them, but he's just had a lot of problems.
No doubt. Logan Ryan is seeking at least what he made in the last contract, $10 million a year. Do you guys think he will get that?
It's a good question. I think he should. I mean, I don't see – you look at the production he's had over the course of that contract, it just got better and better. And you guys know my feeling. If he's willing to come back for $10 million and they miss out on Clowney – I just kind of feel like they need to do that deal. That's my personal opinion. I know there's some corners in the draft that they could get, but they also have other positions of need. So I'd bring him back if he's willing to take the same thing. I know it's a little weird to look at because I think he's a better corner than Malcolm Butler, and Malcolm Butler's making more than him, but that's just kind of is what it is. So if he's willing to take it, then you do it. But I don't know. The longer he's out there, the more you think he's probably not going to get what he wants. That's generally how it goes.
Let me throw this at you guys. And what do you guys think? Because I don't have the budget in front of me, but perhaps this could have to be a choice at some point. If you could sign Clowney, but that meant that you would not have enough money to take Ryan, is that the way you go?
Oh, I don't think you. There's no way that both are in the cards. I don't see. I mean, any
that,
scenario
that would seem logical, right?
Yeah, I see no scenario. To me, it's one or the other or neither. I don't see anything that has both.
So are we good with that?
That's just too much money. That's way too much money.
Well, and
is
I
that
think
all
that,
right?
What, that you can't get both?
No, what I'm saying, if you would you be okay with that swap? You're losing Ryan and Casey in exchange for the money to take Clowney. And then, you know, whatever you left over, you still address some of the other things. You would probably need to address the secondary somewhere in the draft and things like that. Teron was saying that, you know, he has his eye on guys in the draft and positions that are strong. But how would that go over?
Well, I think how would it go over with whom? I mean, if you want to win a press conference, it'll win. Right, you'll win the press conference with the fans. I mean, the fans are going to be thrilled because everybody knows Jadeveon Clowney.
Really? You think the fans would be – because as Chase mentioned, it was a tough blow to see Jarrell Casey go, even though I think the more you look at it, the more, you know, from a football age standpoint, it does make some sense. But not having Ryan and Casey with Clowney?
Yeah, but you're marching out Jadeveon Clowney, and I don't mean this how it might come off. I don't mean this disrespectful, but – he's the biggest free agent available.
Yep.
And if you have a press conference or a conference call or whatever they're going to do right now, and you're introducing Jadeveon Clowney, a majority of the fan base, maybe not all of them, but a majority of the fan base is going to go, oh, that's the biggest free agent available, and my team just signed him. Yeah, I'm in. I'm good with it.
He was the number one recruit coming out of high school. He was the number one pick in the draft. I mean, honestly, what football fan doesn't know Jadeveon Clowney? And I'm not saying they don't know Logan Ryan. I'm just saying you appeal to the masses with Clowney. And as Chase said, he's the top free agent still left out there on the board, and it's not even really that close. So if you're talking about winning a press conference, if you're talking about what would people be happy about, I think people would be happy with Clowney. It would be a nervous happy because, one, why do fans care about how much they spend? I mean, it's not their money. I mean, if they overpay, to me – that guy like Clowney sells tickets. And as we just said, he just turned 27 last month. He's in the prime of his career. If Clowney turns it on and all of a sudden Clowney does what he does and he's somewhat healthy, plays most of the games, and he's a disruptor and he changes games like he has the ability to do, like we used to talk about with Albert Haynesworth, that dude gets a fan base excited. That dude sells tickets. Nothing against Logan Ryan. Like you said, Chase, I'm in the same boat with you. This is not disparaging comments about Logan Ryan. It's just simply saying a guy like Jadeveon Clowney and at that position, he just garners much more attention.
Yeah, I agree with that. And it goes back to something you brought up earlier. You can't trade one of the more popular and productive players in Jarrell Casey and have nothing to show for it. I get it's a gamble, but you have to come back with something. Otherwise, the fans are going to go, you go to the AFC Championship game, and then you go into cap clearing mode? Like, what is that? You know, that may not be the plan. It may be that they gambled and they missed, but you have to come back with something, in my mind, for this to appear better than it does right now.
I'll just tell you right now, guys, I'll have huge concerns. No Dean
Pease,
no Jarrell Casey. No Logan Ryan, and you didn't land a big free. I don't consider Vic Beasley. I'm in wait and see mode. I don't have an opinion one way or the other. But you don't get Clowney, you lose Ryan, you trade Casey, and no Dean Pease. I've got concerns about defense. I go into the season concerned about the defensive side of the ball, which is something we haven't really talked about in a while. You know, they've had the luxury of no matter what happened, they've been good on that side of the ball for several seasons, and so I will have concerns. All right, we'll come back. We'll end the hour with Tewick. Tell us what you know. This is what I know next.
Some things you just know.
I have to know.
Do you think everybody knows?
When you know, you just know. It's time to set the record straight. Join the fun on This Is What I Know with Darren, Donick, and Chase.
We do want to know, what do you know? It's wide open. Best one, we don't know who's out. We need a little interaction here. I know, It's been a rough week, couple of weeks, and we're certainly not out of the woods yet. It's going to be tough times for a while. But we'd love some interaction with you. 615-737-1025. We've got a copy of John Feinstein's new book, The Back Roads to March, The Unsung, Unheralded, and Unknown Heroes of a College Basketball Season. John Feinstein, always a good read, and let's be honest, it's a good time to have a good book in these times. Who wants to start?
I think Chase has been chomping at the bit.
He has been chomping at the bit.
So you want me to start?
Do you want...
This is what I know. My name is Chase, and I have a guitar. And coming up at some point this week, we're going to play Name That Tune, where I'm going to play something on this guitar, and we're going to give away a prize. Because I have figured out how to do this, and I'm excited. That's what I know.
This is good.
Is this actually you, or is this a recording?
No, this is me.
Can we do just one quick test?
That's what I'm doing. I'm playing Enter Sandman.
Enter Sandman. I win round one.
That's what I know.
This is going to be good. This is going to be good.
Very nice.
Darren's seen me play before.
I have.
This gives me a lot of confidence that I will not have to pull out the tuba, as I speculated on Twitter.
I don't think you're going to have to do that.
The problem is I don't own a tuba right now. Somebody would have to. And then I also have not played in about 35 years. So, no, not that many, but maybe 30 years.
Our PD, Ryan Porth,
relearning.
He texted me last night, and he said, you should take an hour this week, and instead of bump music, I should play us coming back from break.
Yeah, that's not bad. I like that.
So we could do that.
Okay.
I'll come up with some. I can hook the electric up, you know, get a little distortion, a little heavy stuff for Darren. I mean, there's a lot of things. A lot of things in the wheelhouse.
Oh, no.
I think I saw what you just saw, Darren.
Oh, no, yeah. I just saw.
I don't know, but I don't know if we can confirm.
Yeah, I'm
that.
Not going to say
we
anything.
We probably check this before we say anything.
This is what I know. Did you guys know that yesterday, 41 years ago, the NHL said, "You know what? We're going to take four WHA teams and turn them into four more NHL teams." 41 years ago. Do you know those teams? Anyone? Anyone?
I do, because
Edmonton's
I think
one.
I saw this being talked about last night.
Yep.
The Whalers say, Chase? Were one.
Yep, Edmonton. Oilers.
Mm-hmm.
The Hartford Whalers.
The Hartford Whalers, yes. Yes, Brent Peterson.
The Winnipeg Jets.
Yeah, the Winnipeg Jets. Yep. One more. This one's a fun one.
The Quebec Nordiques.
The Quebec Nordiques, yes. That was 41 years ago, yesterday. NHL expanded four more teams.
The hockey cards. I was collecting the hockey cards, and this was the time that when I was living in New York that I first really discovered NHL hockey for the first time. My dad was an athletic director. But there was no hockey program. He hadn't grown up with any kind of hockey connection. The college that we were living on the campus of didn't have a hockey program at the time. They do now. But, I hadn't been exposed to it very much. But you take Miracle on Ice, which happened right around that time. Darren, what was it, maybe the year after that happened? And then the Islanders, right, won four straight Stanley Cups. And so all of a sudden, I was introduced to the NHL. So I had hockey cards, and I remember, looking at it like, who are the Quebec Nordiques? What's going on up there? Where is Quebec? I didn't know anything about these guys.
I don't think anyone did.
No, that's awesome. What else I know is the Predators are doing a really good thing, like a lot of people right now in these tough times, and they are continuing to pay employees, people that were set to make or set to work, you know, the SEC basketball tournament. We talked about that. That were set to work some upcoming shows at Bridgestone Arena. Were set to work Nashville Predators games. And I know there's a lot of companies doing this, but the Predators are one of them. And that for now they have continued to pay their, you know, game day employees or event day employees for now, and that is really cool. And I know, like I said, there's a lot of other companies that are doing the same thing. There's a lot of really cool stories out there of people that have are continuing to pay their employees, people that are jumping in there, athletes that we know have donated money to help with that. And it's just, you know, these are tough times, and unfortunately it's going to get tougher. We're not out of the woods. We're not, I don't think, even close to being out of the woods yet. We're probably going to be quarantined for a good while, at least until we can finally come out and get past this. And so these are tough times. Everybody's having to adjust and do different things, and it's really nice to see a lot of employers stepping up and helping out their employees. And so I wanted to recognize the Predators and a lot of others. There's been a lot of really good stories here in the Middle Tennessee area on that front. That's what I know.
That's a good
one.
All
right, quickly, I'll throw mine in there. This is what I know. The amount of creativity that I see on the social media is really something. I don't know if you guys, I know we're all in front of screens a lot more than we were, not that we weren't before, but, you know, everybody, I think, is turned to the screen, either your phone, your computer, or a TV screen. But on the social media in particular, the creativity is really flowing, and I think that's great. We're going to have to continue to do that. And I would encourage those, too, to keep reaching out to those that still don't quite get it, right? It disappoints me that there's still, when you turn on a news, still some faction of life that is still not grasp what we're going through here. Stay informed, but let's embrace what we can do. I love the tweets and the things like that. What can you do during these times? Darren, you mentioned we got time to read. Let's do these things, right? Let's work together, but stay connected while we're separated, right?
No doubt. No doubt.
Yeah, I saw people playing games with each other via FaceTime. I thought that was cool. This weekend. All right, I have the calls if you guys are ready.
Yeah, let's do it. Let's run through them. 737-1025, 615-737-1025. Love to get you involved in This Is What I Know.
All right, let's go to Nate. Nate, lead us off.
This is what I know, fellas. The Pepto-Bismol commercial, to me, is disturbing. The guy that sings the word diarrhea sings it in a very seductive tone, and the last time that I checked, diarrhea isn't a sexy topic.
You would be correct, Nate. Yes.
Yeah. No, I'm going to go with no.
That's a safe assumption. Mm-hmm.
Have y'all seen that commercial? He's like, diarrhea.
I'm not sure.
I don't think I have. I think I would.
It's not standing out to me right now. And I really have no urgency to see it after hearing you kind of recreate that commercial. So, yeah, no, I don't think so.
Yeah, you're welcome.
Chase, do you know what Nate's talking about?
I've seen it, but it's disturbing. So, yeah, no, I know what he's talking about.
Okay. So what does he know that disturbing commercial? Is that
yes,
what Nate
it
knows?
Is.
It's
okay.
A crappy commercial. That's what he's saying.
Oh, nicely done. Well played, sir. 615-737-1025. Thank you, Nate, for that.
Let's go to Mike. Mike, what do you know?
Diarrhea. Yeah, Nate, I know what you're talking about. And that was a good call, man. Hello?
Yeah, Mike, what do you got?
We're laughing at you.
Oh, sorry. Yeah, guys, this is what I know. And I did not know this until very recently. My jigsaw puzzle game is not to be toyed with. It's wrong. And if, let me tell you this. I'm going to tell you the same thing I told my wife. If you're going to try to step into my world with anything less, don't come knocking with 250 pieces. 50, 500, that's cute. I want 750 to even start talking to me. And then, you know, we'll have a conversation. But my puzzle game is strong. Who knew? That's what I know.
How long does it take you? What's 750 to 1,000?
The wife, she's a B player. You know, she tries hard, guys. She comes in there. She's got a certain set of skills that, you know, she does contribute. I wouldn't say she's. I'm Mickey Mantle. She's probably Del Murphy. Some people saying
Del Murphy. Might, that's nothing to sneeze at.
Yeah, you know, it's good. She's probably not going to get a sniff at the Hall of Fame, but you know, I'll let her in. I'll let her. She can attend my induction. But
many people around here would think that she should be in the Hall of Fame, though.
Two nights in stages.
Two nights, okay.
Yeah. You guys hang in there. Thanks for keeping us entertained. Appreciate it.
Thank you, Mike.
Thanks, Mike.
Little known fact is the hockey players are into the puzzle game. We've talked to a bunch of them that love the puzzles. I don't know what's the connection there with hockey players and puzzles, but it's cool. I like it. We do. We break out puzzles.
Are we talking jigsaw puzzles?
Yeah.
I saw my man Keith Hernandez, who I've still never met. He's still one of my all-time favorite baseball players. I had the poster in my room. I watch him. I feel like I know him, even though I don't. But he had a picture of himself in his house, and he was doing a jigsaw puzzle. And he said, "I'm very disappointed to report that I'm missing 5 edge pieces."
Ooh.
Oh, no.
That's always a bummer, man.
No bueno.
If pieces are missing, that's not good.
Well, edge pieces, come on. I mean, you're toast. You can't. You gotta do the borders, right? You gotta start at the borders and build in.
That's usually how you go, right?
That's my strategy.
Borders.
Work your way in.
In fact, I believe did Nate not have that? I think we had an Ask How last night on Twitter that I saw Nate included me on, and I think he was asking how, let's see. Or no, who was that asked that question? It may have been Greg, but he asked Hal about building, you know, a jigsaw puzzle. Where do you start? And Hal said the same thing. You got to start with the borders, man. Good stuff. All right, we got any more, Chase?
Yeah,
we
real quick, Doug. Yeah. Real quick, let's squeeze in Doug. What do you know?
Hey guys, this is what I know. There was a tornado a few weeks ago. Coronavirus now. I don't play games. I don't do internet. I don't do anything but sports. There's no sports. It's raining. I can't mow my yard. This is what I know. I can't go to work. I can't stay home and be comfortable. What I know is I'm very, very bored.
Yeah.
That's what I know.
So you don't do
you guys. That's all I got left, man.
You don't do internet? Is that what you said?
Just for sports. I mean, I use it for sports. I don't need to know the weather. Look outside. It's raining. There's no information for sports, so there's no internet. I don't care about the news. I can see the news. Coronavirus, tornado, you know, hey, it landed in my backyard. I can't mow my yard because it's wet. I am very bored, but I got you guys.
All right. Doug, thank you.
That's what
appreciate
I
it as always. Yeah. I know. It's tough. It was Greg who asked how, he said, are you a middle first or border first type puzzle guy? And Hal said, you got to start with the corners first, man. He said, obviously. Come on. So there you go. All right, good stuff. We'll give a winner. We'll give a nice John Feinstein book out to somebody. We'll come back and we'll head east. We'll check in with Vince Ferrara on the other side. Sports Animal. That's all next on ESPN 102.5 The Game.